This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
With one more race weekend of the triple header and the racing is getting closer than ever, maiden poles, first wins of the season, team orders, returns to the podiums, and new records so far all happening in the last 2 weeks, and we're only just about over halfway through the season. Welcome back to Formula Talk. My name is Sophia. Joining me as always is the lovely Tom Downey. Hello.
Hello. I don't know about the lovely today, but thank you. How are you?
As always, I'm good, and you?
Yeah, tired. Is it Friday yet?
Oh, don't say that. Literally so much going on. As mentioned, we got the triple header. We have 1 week off, or technically almost 2 weeks off, and then we're back racing for Hungary and Spa. So lots of motorsport to deal with these next couple of weeks. Oh, on top of work, absolutely chaotic. Today, we will be reviewing the F2 and F3 races that took place in Austria last weekend, and also previewing one of the biggest races of the feeder series calendar, and I might be a little bit biased, besides Monaco. It's the British Grand Prix taking place this weekend. But before we get into this episode, we must thank our sponsor, BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, football, right, to all the top flights of UFC and NBA and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to their online casino to get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of the 150 slot games available to play from. Head to the website today to get on all the action, and make sure you use the promo code BELIEVE, that is BLEAV, for 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. BetOnline, the game starts here. And as always, make sure you're following us on all social channels at Good Talk UK to stay up to date with this show, and also our sister show Good Talk, which covers everything F1 related. So let's review Formula 3 in Austria last weekend. In qualifying, Luke Browning was able to take his maiden pole and also marks the sixth driver of the season to take pole. His high-tech Pulse 8 teammate, Martinius Stenchorn, was on reverse pole for the sprint race. Now, in the sprint race, it wasn't a win for Stenchorn. It was actually Nikola Tulsov who secured his second victory in Formula 3. Martinius Stenchorn came in P2 after a poor start but recovered, followed by the second ART driver of Christian Mansell, who dropped just one place overall, finishing P3. It was a double ART podium, which is well needed in their constructive standings, actually moving them up to second. In the feature race, Luke Browning was able to convert the pole to the win, his second of the season so far. Dino Boganovic was close on to Luke before finding himself in a battle with his teammate Gabriel Mini, who was able to take P2 away from Dino Boganovic. Another double team podium, though. However, there were some penalties in the feature race, as always we see with Formula 3. MP Motorsport, Tim Tramitz and Alex Stunn, and voting colleagues Callum Voisin all received 10-second time penalties for causing collisions. And I was so close to my predictions of the drivers who had 0 points getting at least 1 point in this either race. It was super close because Alex Dunn with his penalty, I believe it was seconds or like milliseconds, so close ahead of Sophia Flourish, and Sophia came P11. So close. It was even actually a lot of reporting was saying that Sophia Flourish actually got points, and then they had to like go back and say, oh no, Dunn was still able to grasp it just a little bit ahead. But oh, it was such a good racing. I mean, early starts is always when it is the European racing, especially for Formula 3. I believe it was like 7 a.m. I had to wake up, which is not what you want to do sometimes on a weekend, especially it was the same as the previous weekend in Barcelona. But Tom, were you able to catch anything in Formula 3 this weekend?
Honestly, no. I've been working flat out, and I only got back from London late on Friday. And I'll be honest, I thought Saturday, yeah, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to watch the F3 race. I got my times wrong. I woke up and I turned on Sky Go on my iPad in bed. And as I turned into Sky Go, they were just pulling into the P1, 2, and 3 slots for the podium after the first race. And I was lying there and I went, oh, for God's sake. You know, so yeah. And then, of course, the F1 sprint was on before F2. And it was a whole thing. And yeah. But no, having watched the highlights at least, I just want to say I'm just glad Charlie Behrman win. Because he's been having a bit of a torrid season. We're talking about F3, though, aren't we? Not F2.
You just really jumped ahead. Oh my God.
I really jumped the gun there. Wow. 2017 Valtteri Bottas style. That's an Austria reference. I just got so excited thinking about Ollie Behrman won a race in F2. I did see that. Austria generally always delivers, doesn't it? I say always delivers. 9 times out of 10, it delivers. Maybe I'm a bit biased because it's my favorite circuit. It usually provides us some sort of pretty entertaining racing. But yeah, it was a good weekend. You know, especially for Luke Browning in the feature race. And then obviously Nikita Tsolov in the sprint race getting his second win of the season. Yeah, it was just good all round.
Yeah, I mean, just thinking back as well, another bold prediction that I've kind of done in the past, which is the track limits. There actually wasn't really any because of the new gravel traps that were obviously come into play. Sitting in the press conference as well and speaking to the drivers, most of them were kind of finding out the same time as we did when news kind of broke, but they all kind of agreed it was definitely something that was needed because of the amount of track limit penalties that came into play in Austria. It was a very good deterrent, and that was kind of this weekend kind of proved it because there wasn't any real track limit violations that came up from what I can remember for both either the feature and the sprint race. So very good to see. They finally make track changes actually work very right for support series racings. So yeah, quite good. But anyway, let's preview, though, Formula 3 at the British Grand Prix. It's been on the calendar since the start, dating back, obviously, 2019. And the fastest lap is still set by Yuri Vips back in 2019 with a 1:43.902. The sprint race will be 18 laps and the feature will be 22 laps. Last year, Leonardo Fornaroli took the pole with Sebastian Montoya on reverse pole for the sprint. In the sprint race, it was Franco Colapinto who currently races in Formula 2 this season and will also be in the Williams for FP1, but we'll discuss that a little bit later when we're talking more about Formula 2 and not jumping the gun. joining him also on the podium as well was Gabriel Bartoletto. And then the only driver who is actually returning back to Formula 3 is Christian Mansell, who was P3. So it'll be quite an interesting one to see for the sprint race. In the feature race, Oliver Goethe took the win with Fornaroli P2 and Pepe Marti P3. Some key things that happened last year, which I'm hoping things have changed now. But track limits was also a big issue at the British Grand Prix. We saw a 35-second time penalty given to Mary Boyer for multiple track infringements during the sprint race, which for something that's only 18 laps, that is quite a big... So apparently he has exceeded the track limits four times during the race, which earned a 5-second time penalty. He repeated the offense a further two more times, earning a separate 10-second time penalty and a drive-through penalty, which converted to a 20-second time penalty for those instances. like, I don't understand how 18 laps, and that's a third of the laps he's tracked infringed. What?
I really don't know how someone can do so many track limits penalties. I get the racing drivers push the limit and they're always trying to find, like, you know, as much sort of time as they can on the circuit. But, you know, if you want to get a good lap time, you have to push the boundary, but you also have to complete a lap, whether it's a lap in qualifying, whether it's a racing lap. You know, you can't get away with it, because we've seen in the past you will get three strikes and you get a black and white flag. You do it again, you'll get investigated, and then you'll get a 5-second time penalty. And it's not like the days of old, and I say the days of old even back to about 2020, where it would be with the circuit, it'd be like, oh, is that deemed out the circuit. I think it was for 2022, maybe 2021, I can't remember the exact year, but F1, F2 and F3, I'm fairly certain it all came under the same regulation. But it was the solid white line is the exit of the track. No more taking liberties with, you know, like big runoff curbs and all the rest of it. So, you know, it does seem to be a bit of a running theme. And I know, you know, I've seen online, you know, the sort of few social outlets that I do visit these days, which is usually our Slack and Discord, to be honest, because I don't have anything else anymore, thankfully, is... You know, people saying that, you know, it's not the same and that we're over policing it and all the rest of it. And I can see where that sort of viewpoint is coming from. But on the flip side, these are young drivers, and the whole point of these feeder series is to learn. Because if they want to get into the upper echelons of motorsport, and if you're in F2, you're almost there. There is literally only one more step, and that's into F1. And if you're one of the few drivers who is lucky enough to make it into, you know, into F1, and, you know, if you said to any driver in F3 or F2, you know, if you said to them, look, you've got to keep it in the white lines, because if you don't, you could miss out on a seat or whatever, I'm sure they would listen. And I also get it that young drivers will want to take liberties because they want to extract the most out of the car, and possibly there's an element of immaturity comes into it because they are very, very young. But
some of these are kids, like, but,
yeah, exactly. You know, some of them are like 15, 16. And yeah. they won't understand, they won't have matured, and they won't enough, and they won't have the sort of understanding and the sort of cognitive development to realize that these rules are there for a reason. And yeah, it's sometimes it seems harsh when we're watching it, but I do agree with the track limits penalties.
I mean, for sure, especially for some of these drivers who are now rookies in Formula 3, they've used to race in FRCA, they've raced in Euro Formula, F4s, they would never be on the same calendar and same stage as F1s. So they're able to use a lot of technology and equipment that they've not seen in previous other series racings as well. And that's why they're being more quote unquote harsh for some of these drivers. It's just because they've stepped up to another level and they have the better technology and resources to actually govern these track limits. I mean, going back as well, we had Taylor Barnard was given a 10-second time penalty for causing a collision. Nikita Bedrin got a 5-second track limits as well in the sprint race. Feature race, Tommy Smith, who's returning, had a 15 seconds for track limits as well. Like, it, there's a lot, and I'm hoping that these guys who obviously are returning, I'm not expecting Mary Boyer to have another 35 second or even maybe one, or I would not expect him to have another track limit penalty, especially because this is now a track that they know. I mean, they all kind of know, especially those that race in GB3s and British F4s. But I'm expecting maybe the rookies to get more penalties than obviously the returners, and maybe that could be more bold. Who knows? But as much as we hate the 5-second penalties, they now have the resources to govern it a lot better. And it just seems like we're harsh, but it's just literally because previous series don't have that opportunities to do it as harsher or quicker as well. So it makes sense. Another thing also to mention as well, coming into this weekend in for the British Grand Prix, it was mentioned in the press conferences last week that Oliver Grethow is currently close to breaking the consecutive points finishes in a season. Currently, he has 12. The record is actually set with 13, held by Gabriel Bartoletto. So pretty much he needs points in both the sprint and the feature race to take the record that has been held by Gabriel Bartoletto up until, well, obviously last year. But he broke the record that I think was back in 2020, held the record as well. But do you think he's going to break it, Tom?
I think he will, because this kind of consistency, especially in the junior series, does not go unnoticed and does not go unrewarded. And to sort of hold this level of consistency is really quite remarkable. Because if you think about sort of the different accidents we have in the junior series, you know, even if it's not someone's fault, you know, quite often they'll end up being the unfortunate third party. Whereas they might sort of get shunted, you know, from an accident behind them at the start of a race, and maybe when they're piling into turn one or something, you know, and they might end up with a puncture, might have to pit and change a wing, that kind of thing. And especially if it's in a sprint, it can ruin your race. So I think if he can keep out of trouble, which he pretty much has done, he'll definitely have a good chance of keeping a clean sheet. And like I said, I for one, I'd like to see him keep a clean sheet.
100%. He's currently tied for sixth with 77 points, tied with Arvid Lindblad. Just another thing, because I just have the standings up. Luke Browning, who's currently leading the championship with 106 points, he has not scored in any of the sprint races besides Monaco. All his points have come from wins or high finishes in just the features, which obviously there is a points discrepancy. You get 25 for a race win compared to 8 in a sprint win. But that's also another kind of thing. Even Gabriel Mini, he, every single round besides Barcelona, he didn't get any points in Barcelona at all. And he's second with 95 points. So that is kind of another kind of discussion, and probably discuss maybe in the mid-season review, is consistency for podiums better than consistency for points? And we'll actually maybe briefly mentioned it when we talk about Formula 2, which is about Paul Aaron, because that is another record that we will be discussing for this episode as well. And having spoken to him as well in the presses about consistency, that's another kind of big thing this season for the drivers. A lot of them are focusing on consistency over wins, but currently in Formula 3, wins trump consistency in the standings. But who knows? Let us know what you guys think on Grid Talk UK as well, if you think he's going to continue the record and break the record for consecutive points finishes, or as well, is it for race wins or for race points? Now, I know you don't like doing this, but for the amusement of this podcast, Tom, it's
going
what are
to
your
be predictions?
Predictions.
Oh, how did I know you were going to say predictions there, Soph? Why not? Yeah, exactly.
Let's hear it.
Let me just get my top hat with all the names of the drivers, and I'll give you a podium now. No. So are we doing F3 predictions first? Yep, actually, not F2 like I thought at the start of the podcast. Nobody heard that, definitely. Yeah, sure, cool. For pole position, I'm going to say Luke Browning is going to be on pole. You know, it's his home race. So, yeah, so I think he's going to get that extra tenth, that extra tenth and a half, 2/10 that the crowd gives you. And I think he's going to be joined on the feature race podium. I think he's going to win the feature race. And I think he's going to be joined by Arvid Lindblad for a double, you know, for a double British, you know, for a British 1-2 on the podium. And then I'm going to say I'm going to go, I don't know if this counts as like a sort of little bit left field. I don't really think so because he's still P7 in the championship. I'm going to say Ollie Gyrth at P3. And then for the sprint race, I am going to say Gabriel Mini is going to take the win because I think he might have a bit of a stinker in quali. Watching get pole now. And then I think he's going to be joined by Dina Bikanovic, and I'm going to throw a slight outside shout at Mary Boyer for P3. My bold prediction is... Well, I'm going to go really bold here because why not? I'm going to say Tommy Smith gets a point in one of the races.
Okay. That could work.
Fair enough. It will.
Wait till you hear my bold, because I think yours probably has a better opportunity than I do, because mine is a multi-driver bold. But
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Predictions for Formula 3 for this weekend at the British Grand Prix. I think Leonardo Fonaroli will take pole. I think in the sprint race, it will be Lawrence Van Halpen will take the win with Christian Mansell P2 along with Alex Dunn P3. For the feature race, I think Luke will win. I think he probably would be on the front row from qualifying, I'm hoping. I think Fonaroli will take P2. And Dina Boganovic, P3. And then my bold is going to be wild, I think. All British drivers get points in either the races or total. So that is Arvid Lindblad, Luke Browning, Kian Shields, not James Headley, because he's only did the one round at Monaco, but Callum Voisin and Joseph Loke, which a lot of those drivers don't have any points so far this season as well. So I think all of them will get a point wherever, whether that be in the sprint or in the feature, wherever they stand. That's my bold. I'm sticking with a British theme. If you listen to when Grid Talk comes out, when we preview the F1 of the British Grand Prix, you'll see a pattern with my bold predictions on that one. But yeah, moving on to Formula 2, reviewing Austria first. For qualifying, it almost looked to be a return back for Isaac Hadjar, leading qualifying sessions until the last few minutes or so. However, Dennis Hauger was able to secure the pole position by a mere 0.008 seconds off of Joshua Dickinson in the AIX car. There was chaos in the pit lane at the start of qualifying as Taylor Barnard stalled, which actually kind of foreshowed what the race weekend would be like, because there's a few other stalls as well. It caused a traffic jam just when Hightech released Paul Aaron directly in front of him as well. So a lot of the drivers missed out on a few good minutes of really good times to kind of warm up their tires with the cool laps before they push for really good times for qualifying. As well, at the end of qualifying, I believe this is the first time ever all drivers have qualified within a second of each other of the grid as well, which that's a great feat, especially because it's one of the new gen of the car as well. We've obviously seen some cars are not being, even though it's spec cars, are not being working as well as others, i.e. Prema and Triton, who are at the bottom of the constructor standings. But it was definitely a great thing to see all drivers within 1 second. It proves how close this championship is. Krishmani was on reverse pole for the sprint race. In the sprint race, as alluded by Tom, Ollie Bearman finally wins halfway through the season ahead of Pepe Marzi and now taking the record for most consecutive podiums per round with the race format of sprint to feature race with 7, Paul Aaron. He finished P3. The previous record was held by with 6, held by Frederick Vesti. However, the overall record, because I had to cross-check this when I was speaking about this in the press, is currently set by 9, which was done by Nyck de Vries back in 2019. However, they did the reverse way, where they did the feature race first and then the sprint race on the Sunday, which was quite a cool, interesting format. As well, there was a race canceled in between, which is obviously the incident in Spa. So you could technically say 7, 8, but yeah. Still a great feat to have for Paul Aaron, and he is also currently leading the championship. In the feature race, where no driver has not won from pole this season, taking the win, the streak continued, with Dennis Hauger stalling on the formation lap alongside Krishmani and Jack Crawford as well stalling. That gave Dirksen the lead to the start of the race. And then at the start of the race, Zane Maloney, who has not been having a good few weekends so far, also stalled on the race start. Which, the fact that we had 4 stalls, both either on the formation lap and on the sprint race, on the start of the race, that's quite an interesting thing to see. We didn't see much stalls last season as well, and to have 4 in one like lap circuit, especially by these drivers who aren't even rookies, all these are returning drivers, very interesting to see, and kind of confused on how that was even possible for these drivers.
Yeah, it's a bit unexpected, to say the least. You know, the as we've sort of already talked about, these drivers are, you know, certainly some of them are the next generation of talents. You know they are, you know, the sort of next best thing. And then you've got, you know, people like Josh Dufek. To see that kind of thing, it is unusual. Maybe it's a sort of characteristic of the circuit. Maybe they're pointing more uphill than they realize, or indeed pointing downhill. But, you know, that's what free practice sessions are for. You know, that's where you have the designated point at the end of the pit lane, which is where you practice your sort of clutch control for each circuit. You know, that's where you find the blank point and then you effectively program it into the car. We see it in F1 where they line up at the end of the pit lane. You know, they have their little slots, and then at the end of a free practice session, everybody gets a chance to do a race start. So, you know, it's odd to see that. I think we can put it down to maybe, like we said, the characteristic of the circuits. I hope we won't see it again, that kind of thing, because it does cause a bit of chaos. And obviously, we've seen it in the past in F2 and indeed GP2, when drivers have stalled on the grid, and perhaps, you know, race control hasn't noticed, and they've given, they've put the green lights out. You know, we've seen some nasty accidents. Look at Saudi, I think 2021 or maybe 2022 with Fittipaldi. There was a horrible accident there. Latifi had one in Abu Dhabi in 2018, where, or maybe 2019 actually, where he stalled on the grid, and then he got absolutely sort of, you know, smashed, you know, to oblivion. before we then reenacted the same thing in 2021. And then it's not fun to see. And you know, but for all the work drivers done, if they stall on the grid, whether it's their own doing or whether it's an issue with the car, or an issue with the clutch, well, I suppose that is an issue with the car in itself. It's not good to see, because obviously if they can't get it started before every driver makes it back round, they then have to start from the pit lane. So, you know, it's not ideal for anybody. But yeah, well, we will. I doubt we'll see that many stalls again.
Yeah, maybe one or two, but not three on a formation lap and then one at a race start. But because of that, Gabriel Bartolotto took his first win of the season with Franco Colapinto P2 on the alternate strategy, and Isaac Hajar followed closely behind to take P3. There was a lot of team orders going on between Hajar and Pepe Marti, pretty much arguing over the radio about letting each other pass to try to get close up to the grid, chasing Bartolotto, and also towards the end, trying to catch up with Colapinto. Hajar was able to cross the line ahead in third position, and also Pepe Marti received a penalty. Now, this penalty was quite an interesting one, which was he received a post-race 10-second stop-and-go penalty for pitting during the virtual safety car period. This was when the virtual safety car was deployed on lap 6 when Zay Maloney had to pull off to the side due to engine problems. Even in commentary, it was mentioned, it looked like he crossed the line or was already pretty much maybe two wheels over the line before the VSC deployed. And it's kind of, I mean, I don't know because I don't drive cars, but like, it seemed probably would be more reckless and dangerous to veer straight off after already crossing the line briefly, like the first two wheels, the front wheels crossing the line. Like, as well, there was other drivers around him when that happened, so he couldn't make a proper move to potentially move out of the pit lane. So I don't agree with that penalty, and I think even the commentators are very confused about that, and maybe they also didn't agree as well. But quite an interesting one to see. What was your take on it, Tom, as well?
It was definitely an odd penalty. We could hear the confusion in the commentators, like he said, and it was, I wouldn't even say it threw me, because that sounds a bit dramatic, but it was certainly unexpected. I mean, you know, we do sort of have to look at where do we draw the line when it comes to penalties, because you can't penalize everything, because then people will be afraid to move, but then you can't penalize nothing, because then it turns into the Wild West out there. You know, if we're doing that, we might as well have, you know, Laguna and Santino Ferrucci back. You know, nobody wants that, let's be fair. You know, apart from those two. And I get that it is a rule, and the rule has been, you know, has been broken, but it does kind of boil down to a wider question around, do we penalize the incident or do we penalize the outcome? Because in this case, you know, it bumped him down to what, like 15th or something, and
yeah, it was converted to a 30-second time penalty in the end.
Yeah, a 30-second time penalty. A 10-second stop-go penalty is one of the most severe penalties you can get, aside from being black flagged, which is being disqualified. You know, one could argue that's not even a penalty compared to what we're talking to. That's straight disqualification.
It was a post-race given 10-second stop and go. That's the issue as well.
That's because Marti had already done his pit stop, and then by the time the penalty was issued, he'd done his pit stop, so he wouldn't want to come in for it.
It was issued after the race, though. That's the thing.
Oh, it was issued after the race.
Yeah. was a post-race 10-second stop-go penalty.
Do you know what? I spent all the time thinking it was issued at the end of the race. I didn't realize it was a post-race issued penalty.
It was noted and then investigated. And then investigated said no further action and then reissued back the investigation towards, I would say, maybe the last couple laps. And then they were given... He already had a penalty for track limits, I believe, as well, which already dropped him out of positions as well. But I don't understand how you can give a post-race penalty for something that needs to be served on track.
It boils down to it does need to be penalized, and it's, you know, they do have to give a penalty. As it is technically something which does, which warrant a penalty, you know, serving a mandatory pit stop under the, it was either safety, I can't remember, was this safety car or the VSC? I think it's a VSC. Thank you. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, given some of the things we don't see get penalized, this one, I know it's one of those ones where I'd be like, oh, well, it's a bit of a slam dunk. Because the penalty wasn't served, so you know it's sort of you know quite easy to say, you know, all the rest of it. But it's just, you know, it just opens up a bigger conversation around consistency with the stewarding, in my own words, and then everything. And you know, I'm not going to go into that here because we've all got homes to go to.
Yeah, I mean, again, whoever was doing the productions as well, we couldn't see half of the things. We even saw Richard Vachon go out. We didn't know what happened. Like, there's a few other ones as well, but absolutely chaotic. Hopefully it won't be as bad when we come to the racing this weekend. But yeah, moving on to this weekend, as mentioned, Ollie Bearman is driving in the Haas for free practice one as part of one of his 6 race duties. I believe the other one coming up is also in Hungary. And it's rumored that he might announce a seat for next year, which is potentially going to be at Haas this weekend. But we'll see. I mean, I think it kind of is. Having, again, some of the press conferences last weekend, all the questions were to Ollie as well. And you could tell there was maybe something that we didn't know, or it was being very coy about driving and obviously his double duties doing the free practices in this triple headers or the 5 races per 6 weekend stint. So who knows? Do you think he'll go to Haas?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I think he has the better F1 shot seats than his teammate of Kimi. That's my take. And again, I had a whole spiel about it at the Grid Talk preview show as well for Silverstone. So definitely go take a listen at everything that you find your podcasting with or on YouTube at Grid Talk UK. And again, as mentioned, Franco Colapinto, who isn't a Williams backed Academy driver, he'll be participating in FP1 as well for the first time. And that'll be quite a cool one as well. Really excited to see that. So looking at Silverstone, it's been on the calendar since the start, so since 2017. It is 21 laps for the sprint race and 29 laps for the feature race. The current circuit record is held by Zhou Guanyu, which was set back in 2019, with a 138.182. In qualifying, Victor Martins took pole, with Frederik Vesti on the reverse pole. And then in the sprint race, Vesti was able to convert the pole to the win, finishing the top step with Théo Pourchaire P2 and Jack Doohan P3. So all sprint race podium finishers aren't racing this season. So we will have a new British podium. In the feature race, like Frederik Vesti, Victor Martins was able to convert the pole to the win. So this could be something that we will see and maybe something to definitely watch out for in qualifying. Zane Maloney took P2 and Théo Pourchaire took P3. Now, Tom, to wrap it up, what are your predictions for this weekend?
I'm gonna say, you know what? I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna say he's won a race, he's back. yada, yada, yada. I'm going to say Ollie Bearman's going to get pole and he's going to win. The Bearman fan club is truly back in action. So I really would like to see him win, you know, especially at his home race. I think the British crowd there would go absolutely mental if he won. Plus, you know, that would top it off nicely with an announcement of the Haas seat. Obviously, that's not confirmed, but as we just said, it does look like it's going to happen. As for joining him on the podium, I am going to say for the sprint podium, I'm going to say Franco Colapinto P2, and I'm going to say, am I going to say P3? I would have said Zane Maloney, but he's basically got any points recently. Only sort of like 12, 13 points in the last four race weekends or so.
It's his first weekend without a double, with any points.
Without any points. And bearing in mind, he won, the first double feature race. So, yikes. I'm going to say Colapinto P2. I see Jack Crawford P3 in the feature race. As for the sprint race, I'm going to say Isaac Hadjar is going to win. I'm going to say Zach O'Sullivan P2, and I'm going to say Correa P3.
Ooh.
I feel like Correa is just hitting a nice little bit of form, and P3 in the sprint. My bold prediction: Hadjar gets to within 2 points of the championship lead of Paul Aaron.
I mean, that is possible because you've just knocked Paul Aaron off podiums and ruining his consecutive podium streak.
Exactly. I think he'll still finish like P4 or 5 in the race.
He's 11 points ahead only.
Exactly. It's not too much of a swing. So, let's see, eh?
Okay. Interesting. Fair enough. I think Paul will be. I'm going to say Franco Colapinto takes pole. I think the boost in being in the Williams for FP1 might help, or might be a hindrance, because that's three practices in one day in two different cars. In the sprint race, I think it will be Gabriel Bartoletto takes the win, Zach O'Sullivan takes P2. And a wild one maybe is Taylor Barnard. No, maybe not Taylor Barnard. I think he will finish in the points in sprint, but maybe not podium. I think Krish Meine will be P3. Why not? In the feature race, I think Colapinto is going to win. He's going to convert the pole to the win. I think Paul Aaron's going to continue his streak and take P2. And then in P3, I will say, to make it potentially all British in points, like my F3 bold, Ollie Bearman P3 for it. But my overall bold is no track limits. Let's go back to the original. No track limit time violations in either the sprint or the feature race.
I think around Silverstone, that's doable.
Well, I mean, according to this preview when we had.
Yeah, but, you compare it to Austria, I think it's doable. But
there wasn't any really that much because of the new gravel traps. Nothing's changed for Silverstone, and there is still times of time penalties. So
I know.
We'll see.
Let's wait and see.
Why not? Let us know what you guys think as well at Grid Talk UK or where you find us on YouTube. So Formula Talk Season 2 is available on YouTube where episodes are posted. Just search Formula Talk UK on YouTube to stay up to date with our 2024 season. If you've been a listener to our show, you know that we are the sister show of Grid Talk UK, which is where you can find all of our back catalog episodes on Amazon Fire, Spotify, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Cast. Just search Grid Talk to find all of our episodes. And also, if you would like to listen to anything F1 related. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights, and better recording equipment. And again, make sure you subscribe so you're the first to know when each new episode is released. And make sure you're following us as well on all social media channels. We'll be back soon with playing more content where we will review Silverstone. And there'll be no race weekend, so we can actually have a break. It's just reviewing. Maybe some new news as well, with hopefully new F1 announcement seats. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Tom, as always, for joining me.
Oh, pleasure as always.
And you've been listening to the Formula Talk podcast presented by Bet Online. Goodbye.